Self, I suppose you have periods of complete happiness?
Douglas, yes.
It would be true to say that when we are living in our own environment over here, we are happy. But when we are conscious, as we must be if we are to progress at all, of the great needs of humanity, not necessarily only in your world but also on the lower spheres of life on our side, where people are certainly very undeveloped to say the least, then, of course, we cannot be fully happy in our own happiness. How can one be happy when one realizes the needs of others, when one feels the sadness of others, when one feels the agony of mind of others? We have happiness, but you must not misconstrue it, as some people might, and think that we are divinely happy. We are happy. But we are never ceasing to think of others and their needs. And, of course, this must to some extent mar our happiness. But we do not let it do so in quite the same sense that you understand this term. We are happy, but we are happiest when we are serving, when we are helping, when we are giving, when we are loving. This is life, this is a form of existence that we know of. There is much that has happened to us that makes us as we are. Indeed, I think that we are happy when we are unhappy, but that sounds odd. As regards the title of the book, do not let that worry you. It will come, and there is plenty of time. Always know that I am behind everything you do and that I am there. Although you may at times feel frustrated, and that you are not making the headway that you should, know that I am trying desperately to help, and that I have tremendous faith that we shall achieve what we set out to do. Just be patient. 105, Chapter 14. Creativity of the Spirit. Conditions seem to have been difficult on this occasion. About 10 minutes elapsed before I heard Mickey's voice, and his opening chat was on a very personal note. Mr. Flint and I were relieved to hear my husband's voice.
Douglas, hello.
Are you being cross-examined?
Self, yes, very much so, dear.
Douglas, I was listening to Mickey's conversation and going a bit hot and cold under my psychic collar. That is if one wore a collar and tie. Fortunately, one does not have to. Here one can dress according to one's mood, according to one's feeling, and since the vast majority of us have long lost interest in clothes such as ties and suits and so on, the general wearing apparel is more like a Roman toga, or Greek dress, robes.
Self, you must look well in a robe, dear.
Douglas, well, for one thing, I look at least 40 years younger than when you knew me. I am not an old man, you know. And I am still interested in books. We have magnificent libraries here. Everything that has been written that is worth reading and worth keeping, great classics and new works, can be read here. Although it is possible here to thought, nevertheless we need to. Many a person over no opportunity to read, communicate entirely by the power of do communicate verbally when we feel the here, who on earth perhaps had little or was not able to read, has access to all the great works of all the great authors. Even those who wrote when on earth and who still have the desire to write, can do so. Here it is possible not only to read a book but to see it, as it were, in a kind of vision, almost as if you were entering into the reality of it. On earth, in a sense, you can do that. Your imagination fills in the gaps and you are able to create your idea of the character, 106, and so on, depending, of course, on how well the author has written. But over here one can do that in a more vivid sense. Here it is possible to reach out in an extraordinary way and to visualize so much that is put across by the book. I wish I could explain what I mean. People must not think that over here everything is wishy-washy or sort of biblical. I know this is not perhaps the way to describe it, but there are many people who come here who have strange views, if they have any at all, of what this life will be like, and vast numbers are, of course, disillusioned, particularly those who have very strong religious convictions and visualize a sort of biblical heaven. There is nothing at all like that, absolutely the opposite, in fact. This life is such a real life, in which we can and do achieve all manner of things, and no one need fear death. As I have said so often, it is like going to sleep in one world and waking up in another more magnificent and more beautiful, with greater opportunity in every sense.
Many a person who on earth has had a life that has been difficult and hard, in which they have had to keep their nose to the grindstone and have not been able to develop any of their latent natural talents, can do so on this side. Many people over here study art, study music, and contribute to the well-being of others by giving of themselves. In this way, many great artists and musicians teach and help those who are interested. It is very important that people should realize that this is a world which by its very nature is creative and in which we have every opportunity to be creative. Here we can do many things which were denied us on earth. Obstacles, if there are any at all, are within ourselves. Of course you do get obstinate people who come here with firm, fixed views who expect certain standards or certain aspects of life which they insist upon and, in consequence, they create their own community. You have many communities of people who live in a fool's paradise. It is a condition which they themselves have made, and until you can reach them, or they themselves make the attempt to grow out of that stupidity, there is not very much you can do. There are large communities of people who live in a very narrow religious world of their own making. That is where the bugbear of religion comes in, and I am not only referring to Christianity, but to other religious organizations and groups. I only wish I had, 107, known all this earlier on, it would have made such a vast difference to my life, not only on earth, but over here too. When first I came here it was rather difficult for me to accept, but now, of course, I can see clearly, and I am very anxious to break down all the barriers on both sides, if I can. The greatest obstacle to true progress is to have a closed mind or to have a narrow outlook, whether in religious or any other sense. A person's mind must be fluid, it must be open and ready to receive new teaching, new ideas, even though many of them may be discarded or unacceptable. The most vital thing, almost, in human life is that a person should have an open mind and should listen, and if necessary receive. Nothing is worse than a strong, fixed view that your opinion is right and everybody else's is wrong. There is nothing that I now detest more than a closed mind. I feel very strongly about that, as you can probably imagine. I am afraid a lot of my old friends and acquaintances will be shocked to hear me say some of these things. When I look back on those days, I think to myself how stupid we were. A book would come in that had some new thought but did not fall into the mainstream, and it was thrown out at once. Just like your book is. Self, laughing, are you still publishing? Douglas, no, not in that sense. There is no business or financial side, but there are people who love to bind books, for instance, love to use substances, to manipulate and create. You must not think that our world is a world where you just think of a book and there it is. Everything has to be brought into being. This is a real world. Real substances are used, and all manner of substances at that. But nature over here, which is in many respects like nature on earth, only more tremendous in its scope and more magnificent, willingly gives of itself. It is difficult to know how to explain this without giving the wrong impression. I do not want you to think that we run around chopping down trees and things like that, but there are substances which we can use, and are used, and there are scientific instruments to create and to express many things which I cannot find words to explain. Everything here is done for the good of humanity, and the good of the community. Everything here is created in joy, and in beauty, and in loveliness. Nothing here is used for an ulterior motive. There is no evil as such. There are planes, or spheres, or countries, call them what you like, where people exist who live on strata of being, 108, which are less developed, where they live, in some senses, nearer to earth. Here there are baser thoughts. But these are conditions. We must get away from this old idea of a heaven and hell and get down to the fact that there are many stages of evolution, many conditions of life according to the development or lack of development of the individual. That is the joy and the beauty of it. That is why it makes sense. When you are on earth you cannot grasp the meaning of eternal life, it just does not register. But when you realize that there are many phases of existence, and that the individual evolves from one state of being to another according to his progress, then eternity seems a feasible reality. Self, what is your conception of God?
Douglas, God is a force, a vital, living power that is dynamic, and within every human soul. Indeed, one might say it is the very breath of life. We must get away from this man-made God, this figurehead.
It is a term.
Self, what is our relationship to God?
Douglas, our relationship to God, surely, is the fact that we are part of God, that we are the very essence of God. We are all part of the same spirit. It is that which is animating us and creating us, it's ZS life.
Oh dear, shall I ever find words to explain these things to you? Words are so difficult to find to express something which is purely of a mental and spiritual nature. Sometimes there are nuances which do, to some extent, depict what we mean. But I cannot tell you about many aspects of our life because I would not know how to start. It is too sensitive, too delicate, too complex. This communication means so much to me, and I am so anxious that people should read the truth, and realize the reality of this life and how wonderful it is. It is beyond description. I can only say that life here is a great joy. There is a tremendous wonder in it all still to me.
109, Chapter 15, Control of Thought Forces.
Mickey, nice to see you. I suppose you have come to talk to your husband?
Self, yes, please, Mickey.
Mickey, he was a case, wasn't he?
Self, you always seem to get on very well with him.
Mickey, oh yes, I like him. He's got a dry sense of humor, and he has certainly changed his tune.
He's had to.
People do. He realizes many things now he didn't understand before, and I think he would love everyone to know this truth.
Douglas, hello.
Self, hello, darling.
How marvelous to hear your voice again.
Douglas, I am very happy to come and to talk to you. I have so looked forward to this.
Have you settled back in your own place again?
Self, yes, thank you.
Douglas, that is nice.
I think you have done your duty, and now you can relax a bit.
What shall we talk about?
Self, have you had any new experiences?
Douglas, yes.
I'm always having experiences of some kind or other, meeting people and finding new interests. There is so much to assimilate here, and most of it, of course, I would not know how to relate. The vastness of life here is so tremendous.
Self, have you changed your position in the ether?
I mean, Douglas, has my consciousness become more aware of new conditions of life?
Self, yes, that is what I mean.
Douglas, yes, I have gradually become conscious of new conditions, which means new experiences and meeting new people who are, you might say, on my same wavelength.
The more one evolves and develops, the more one graduates into these new vibrations and the more removed one must be from earth and earthly experience.
110. Here, for instance, you can recapture, in the atmosphere, all manner of thoughts. You can read a book without actually having it in your hand and without actually reading it. You can read it by the process of thought. In a more advanced state of being, you are able to tune into the thought forces of an author, and see the picturization of the whole book, almost like a moving picture on a screen. This is a form of reading, but it is reading of the mind and not reading of the written page. It is possible to sit in a vast auditorium here and listen to works by great composers, which vibrate in the atmosphere by the very power of the thought force of the individual composing music without the necessity even of an orchestra. An artist can create a picture without necessarily using the palette and the brush. Now this may sound most strange, but the more advanced souls, by the process of thought, can transmit onto what you would call a canvas all the color and the line and the beauty that is within their thought force, for which normally, on earth, they would have to use paints and brushes. Here, we learn how to control thought forces to such an extent that they can be harnessed, and brought into form. What I think one should remember is that nothing of any real consequence in the field of human endeavor is ever lost. The only things that are lost as you progress are the lesser things. The things that are,
by their very nature, unimportant and have no spiritual significance. Anything which has been achieved by man that has real significance, whether it is in art or literature or music, exists in this world in a more perfected state. Every house here has its own individuality and personality and character, according to the individuals who live therein and the people who have assisted them in its creation. An artist, for instance, will decorate the home of a friend, or the home of people that they admire or like very much. Everything here is brought into being in a gradual sense. You do not suddenly inhabit a new environment until such time as you have gone through certain experiences that have made it possible for you to partake of it. In consequence, you are yourself, sometimes, almost unconsciously preparing your new home while you are living in one already on a different sphere. 111. Self, have you met any very interesting people in your new environment?
Douglas, I have met innumerable souls. Some that I knew on Earth, but many whom I could never have met on Earth because we were divided by centuries. Some of the great souls who have been over here for centuries and have progressed to a very high state of being enter into different spheres to lecture, and to guide others who are less fortunate, or who have not progressed as far as themselves. I have seen, and met, and listened to, many very great souls, great artists, great musicians, souls who when on earth endeavored to bring reformation, and new ideas that would benefit man. The people that one meets over here who have really progressed are particularly people who by the very sensitivity of their nature, even when on earth, endeavor to give themselves freely and absolutely in love and in service to humanity, in some shape or form. It may be that in some cases it was with their musical talent or ability, with others their artistic integrity and the reproduction of wonderful thoughts onto canvas. Others may have worked in social ways in their particular country to bring about a better understanding between people and provide better conditions for people who were unfortunate. I have met many souls who were, when on earth, in all walks of life.
Self, it must be tremendously interesting. By the way, dear, would Chapters of Experience be a suitable title for this book?
Douglas, after some thought, of course, yes.
Self, the idea came quite suddenly last night. I wondered if you gave it to me.
Douglas, it is feasible.
As I have said, this is a world where we communicate entirely by thought processes. I am constantly in touch with you, constantly in tune, as it were, and so you are at times obviously receiving my thoughts and impressions. But there again, we must always be aware of the fact that in this process there are moments when some confusion can enter. Perhaps a soul who is nearer to Earth is, at the same time, endeavoring to concentrate some thought, and there is occasional confusion.
Self, yes, I understand.
Douglas, but I think you do extremely well.
Actually, I know that you do. I know that you receive, mentally, a tremendous amount accurately from me.
Of course, you have to make allowances and realize that there is not always a clear channel.
112. Even when I come to talk to you like this, there are times when it is much more difficult than others. One must be ever conscious that there are thousands of people on this side all anxious to communicate, and sometimes when they see the opportunity presented to someone like myself, they are eager to do the same. Sometimes their thoughts are very strong and they can, quite unintentionally, get in the way. One has to try to keep the channel as clear as possible.
Self, are you going to tell me about another incarnation?
Douglas, yes, I hope to be able to do so. This is where we come, again, to the process of thought control. It is getting onto a certain wavelength or vibration which would be in association with that particular incarnation and receiving back, as it were, past memory and thought which could make it possible to give you instances and experiences from it. When you are living as I am, on a certain plane of consciousness which has become natural, it is very difficult to suddenly break off, even for what you would term a small amount of time, to get onto some past material life. For instance, I think I have become fairly good at communicating as I am doing now, but when you say to me, now can you get onto a vibration? Or can you concern yourself with some previous incarnation? I have to break off.
Self, I do not mean now.
Douglas, one know that, dear, the only way one can successfully do that is to prepare oneself for it in advance and to get as much information as one can by tapping this older wavelength, which itself has become, over time, very dim. It is not that I do not want to. I am very happy to do it, especially if I can do it successfully. But sometimes I feel that it is the merest, sketchiest outline, and has little or no substance. In other words, I feel that unless I can get the substance, it is valueless. I shall continue always to do what I can. I shall continue to assist and to help you as best I can. You know that. It gives me great joy to come and talk to you, and I am glad you are back home again. It means we can resume our communications fairly regularly, I hope, during the summer. 113, Chapter 16. Egyptian Incarnations. Eki, nice to see you. How are you? Douglas, with urgency, as if I did not know. How are you in yourself?
Self, all right. You sound very anxious about me, dear.
Douglas:. I am not exactly anxious, and I do not think there is anything seriously wrong with you, but I sometimes feel that you try to do too much and tire yourself out. You are not going away again, are you?
Self,
no, not at present.
Douglas, good.
Now you will be able to relax in your own place.
Self, yes.
Are the conditions suitable for tapping an older wavelength, as you call it, a previous incarnation you have not yet told me about?
Douglas, I think I have mentioned certain aspects before, but there was a period of time when we were both together in ancient Roman times in Pompeii.
Did I ever mention that?
Self, in Pompeii?
Number Douglas, well, we were there. It was a long time ago, of course, and the memory is rather dim. Fortunately, we were not there during the earthquake, neither were we there during the eruption of Vesuvius. But we had lived there some few years previously.
Self, are you referring to the time under Nero when you were in the Roman army?
Douglas, no, that was a different period.
Actually, we had three incarnations in Roman times. Of course we have had several Egyptian incarnations, too.
We had an Egyptian incarnation in medieval times in Italy. Italy has always been a very close link with us.
Self, I like to hear the recording about the time during the Renaissance when you were a priest.
114 Egyptian incarnations. Douglas, do you? I often wonder what these things must seem like to anyone reading this, or hearing the recordings. It must strike them as being very far-fetched.
Self, I do not think so.
Douglas, well, not to you or me, of course, but to ordinary people who have little or no knowledge of this subject. I often wonder what they must think.
And yet, there is no denying the fact that reincarnation is the truth, and a real thing in itself. It is fundamental. To me it is the only answer.
We must, obviously, go through many phases and many conditions of life before we arrive at a certain stage of evolution when we have, as it were, taken from Earth all that Earth can give, and learnt all the various lessons that only the Earth life can provide. And then, of course, we assimilate everything in these different incarnations, and enter the spiritual spheres in a more fully aware sense. We are more prepared and more able to leave the Earth behind forever. I think it is very necessary. A lot of people do not see this.
Self, a great many do.
Douglas, theosophy is a tremendously interesting subject, not that I had any interest in it, to any extent, when on Earth. But it answers so many questions. Take musicians like Mozart, who compose great works at such an early age. You have these infant prodigies, and the only answer to that is, as I see it, that they are old souls, and also, of course, they are helped from this side by eminent musicians themselves. They are very good subjects for suggestions. After all communication is a mental process, and influences are brought to bear on certain individuals who have particular gifts. There is no doubt that Mozart was an old soul, though young in body. He was obviously brought back into the world to be used as an instrument. He developed his natural abilities, but was aided very much by souls from this side.
So much is done of which people have little or no real knowledge, where they are guided and advised, and where they are given the opportunity to do great things. There is no doubt that certain individuals choose to come back even when it is not necessary from the point of view of their own evolution as an individual. They choose to come back to act in a capacity for the good of others, either in the religious sense or as psychics of some kind. The world does not fully appreciate what it means to be a psychic. 115. I do not necessarily mean a medium, as the spiritualists term it. There are many, many great souls, many fine instruments, mediums of a kind, who are not in spiritualism. In fact, they are quite often outside it. It seems to me that the spiritualists themselves, although they have the truth fundamentally, often inhibit the real flow of truth which could come, because of previously held strong feelings and ideas. I am sometimes a little disturbed about the spiritualists' self, yet they have been giving this spiritual knowledge to the world for a long time, and demonstrating it in so many different ways. Douglas, all that I fully appreciate, of course. But it seems to me that a lot of mediums have very fixed views of their own which preclude certain things that we want to make known. It is very difficult for them to break down their own barriers. Mediums are very odd creatures, I have discovered that. Self, roused, we resent that, dear, do not we, Leslie? Mr. Flint, laughing, yes, in a way, but he is right though. Douglas, mediums should be malleable, and they should allow themselves to be used in the fullest sense. But often you get mediums who, when they are giving seances or sittings, build up a barrier when something is coming through which does not fit in with their fixed ideas. Instead of allowing themselves to be used purely as instruments, they sometimes get all keyed up, and build a sort of wall. You have mediums, also, who have strong views in regard to the way in which this truth should be presented. You have, for example, those who approach it purely on a Christian basis. They have such strong, narrow views that they preclude the full truth coming over. If anything comes through from this side that fits in with what they have preconceived, then it is all very nice and they accept it, but if not, then they discard it. I find this very distressing. We all accept the teaching of Christ, we all accept Christ as a great teacher and a great soul, who came into the world to set an example and to show a path. This we all are agreed on. But when we try to narrow it down with dogma, it creates big barriers. Of course, I know this all sounds very foreign to my old self, but then, thank goodness, I have made some progress, and I have seen things differently. I realize now that there is nothing more restricting than dogma. 116. Egyptian incarnations. Self, can you remember anything about the incarnation in Pompeii? Douglas, ah, I knew you would soon try to get me off religion. Self, laughing, what period of history would that be? Douglas, it was just before the turn of what we call AP self. We were together, you said. Douglas, yes. I hardly know how to explain this, but I was a priest again, a priest of Isis and Osiris, an Egyptian who had, like so many other nationals, settled in Pompeii. Actually, Pompeii, at that time, was more representative of the known world than Rome. It is an extraordinary thing, but perfectly true. There were probably more religious orders and denominations in Pompeii than ever there were in Rome. And there was a sect which was Egyptian and which brought Egyptian teachings and beliefs, and had its own temple and worship. It was a strange mixture, of course, a mixture of the ancient Egyptian religion brought into the modern, for that time, idea and entwined with Roman beliefs. I was one of two priests who were associated with this particular temple, and there were many Romans who were very intrigued. There was at that time a very strong psychic flow, what you would call a belief in the religion of communication. Seances, as such, were held. Actually, it was really a throwback to the teachings of Akhenaten. Self, Akhenaten is a favorite of mine. Douglas, yes, I know, in our Egyptian incarnation, going back some centuries before, we had been followers of Akhenaten. I was one of the few priests then,
I seem always to have been associated with religion, who went over to Akhenaten when he set up his new religious order.